Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan. As Westside Christian Fellowship prepares for a season of fasting and prayer, Pastor Shane reads you the 10th chapter of his new book, 40 Days to Reset Your Life, Applying God's Wisdom for Physical and Spiritual Renewal. 40 Days to Reset Your Life is available in audio form on Audible, as well as Amazon Kindle, and free electronic or PDF formats at wcfav.org. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
A hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in one place.
Chapter 10, Biblically Speaking, What Should I Eat? Well, this chapter is going to get interesting because there are many, many opinions out there. So let's just get right to the point. There are many views regarding which diet is ideal. So I decided to include some of the information from my book, Feasting and Fasting. But please don't get caught up in the diet craze. The reason most diets don't work is because a short-term solution, dieting, I have to go on a diet, I have to do this for 3 months or 30 days. None of that can fix a long-term problem, which is obesity. Focus on how God designed you and eat accordingly. Stay active and consume foods in moderation. Make health a priority as well as a lifestyle. And if you do all of that, you'll be well on your way to better health. Trust me on that one. Now, vegans and vegetarians, I don't think I need to break down all the different diets because it's pointless. Vegans, vegetarians, proponents of plant-based diets, and meat promoters, they all argue that their diet is best. And if you throw in the raw diet crowd into that mix, the confusion only increases. Raw dieting is just, what is raw? Nuts, salad, you don't even really cook it, definitely not processed. And then many of these diets, though, overlap with some stark differences. For example, vegans and vegetarians and plant-based diets overlap. And then meat promoters with their keto or paleo or whatever you call it, they overlap. And so you're really going to have to just take it to God. And what I've done is come to the realization that all foods are allowed that are given by God, God-given foods. Now, meat and dairy, obviously, can be toxic, can be dirty, especially depending on where you get it. So you're going to want to minimize those types of things. But I'm going to get into that a little bit in more detail as we get closer. Plus, if you're dealing with health-related issues, you know, somebody found out they have cancer, I would back off meat and dairy, the insulin-like growth hormone factor, how that plays a role, glucose feeding cancer cells, watching sugar. You know, so you do have to change things around based on what your lifestyle demands. For the most part, you know, I don't claim to have all the answers. Even experts in the field of nutrition are divided. I think that's where we get confused. You watch this person on YouTube, boy, they are dialed in, they are smart, and they contradict this other person who has a PhD in nutrition, and who do I believe? What's going on? So the reason that there is a lot of debate out there is because it depends on a person's lifestyle, activity level, and how their body responds to certain things. So a ketogenic diet, for example, which has been shown to help a lot of people, might not work well for other people. It depends on your activity level as well. I mean, if you're in construction, you're working hard, you're a marathon runner, you know, I'm not going to limit my carbohydrates whatsoever. But if you're in a different field or work environment or a different field of expertise in regard to athletics and different things, then you're going to have to pay a little bit more attention. For example, when I was in the bodybuilding / fitness world and working in construction, I would do something that would alarm people today. I'd bring about a cup and a half to two cups, probably two cups of cooked rice. How many carbohydrates is in there? Boy, it's a lot. And it was great. It worked out good for my workout routine. I worked hard throughout the day so I could utilize those carbohydrates. But most people, you know, you definitely don't want to do that. But let's begin where God begins. This is key because the Bible does have a lot to say about this. In the beginning of creation, I'm reading from Genesis 1. When God created, he said, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it will be food to you, meaning it will cover your nutrient needs. And every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to every living thing that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And so it was. Now, it's interesting. Green plant food is the most healthiest food on the planet. Green plant food, high in phytochemicals and chlorophyll and all kinds of ingredients and fiber and things that antioxidants. And it's just incredible. So that was how we were created. We were created to eat living, life-giving food. You eat a carrot, the life of the carrot, the enzymes, the vitamins, the minerals, the phytochemicals, all that is deposited into the body to give the body life. So when we deviate from that, processed foods, box foods, foods with no nutritional value whatsoever, it can really hinder health. And it's clear that we were designed to eat this living plant-based food. However, what happened is after the flood of Noah, which, and yes, we take the Bible literally, there was, I think, between the fall and the flood, probably 1600 years. So after the flood, there it was okay to eat meat, but did they eat meat before that? You know, there's opinions out there, but from scripture, I can't make that connection. So they might have eaten flesh after the fall and killed animals and cooked it. We don't know, but we do know after, maybe it was prohibited, but they still did it. But after the flood, Noah was commanded to take and eat of certain types of animals, and possibly because vegetation was scarce. We really don't know. We do know without a shadow of a doubt that plant food is by far the most superior. End of story. Plant protein debate. I'm not a fan of the idea that we need to consume a ton of protein. And yes, keto and paleo diets have their place, but I don't believe that some forms of those diets are the healthiest options, especially in the long run. One issue I've had with ketogenic diets in the past is the lack of fiber content and getting those bowels moving. The people I've talked to on ketogenic diets many times haven't had a bowel movement for a day or two. Even 2 or 3 days is not uncommon. Now, I know what you're going to say. Oh, no, they just need eat a lot more vegetables and things like that. I know it and you know it, but often the ketogenic diet, how it comes across is fat and meat. And well, no, you can do a vegetarian form. Yes, you can. Nuts and avocado. I got it. But more often than not, a lot of times that doesn't give us enough digestive fibers that we need, especially when you Google how healthy beans are. So you're avoiding beans, you're avoiding sweet potatoes, you're avoiding quinoa and dark brown rice with tons of fiber nutrients when you're on these types of diets. So again, care must be taken. Know what you're doing. And of course, you're going to find stories of Eskimos living on fish in the barren north. And most people do consume too many carbohydrates. But we need to look at God's design. God did not say potatoes and rice and beans and healthy bread like Ezekiel bread that is full of nutrients and hasn't been deprived of all its nutrients and enriched fiber and things like that. These are God-given foods. But sadly, many of those who promote a lot of the different diets out there, they form their opinions based on the theory of evolution. And you'll hear well-educated doctors, nutritionists talk about how when we evolved, no, we can't go there. We can't even consider that because God created us to eat plant-based food primarily. Now, it's coming from somebody who loves meat and dairy. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We must look at how the Creator created us. And although I agree that many people don't consume enough of the right protein, we don't want to overindulge in protein. For example, in the case of plant-based foods, you will get plenty of protein eating primarily plant-based foods. Organic black beans, for example, have 7 to 8 grams per half cup, 7 or 8 grams of fiber per half cup. Now, that's pretty encouraging. And the fiber content is off the chart at around 16 grams per cup. Talk about a superfood. Many questions, but few answers. After the great flood, meat consumption was introduced. Everything that lives and moves was to be food except blood that is in the animal. See Genesis 9:3. The blood of the animal contains toxins and many diseases travel in the blood. God also identified clean and unclean animals. Unclean animals, such as pork, are still not considered healthy since viruses, bacteria, and parasites are easily transferred from the pig to us. So was man not to consume meat until after the flood, 1600 years after the fall approximately? If so, why did early man eat only plants for over 16 centuries before God allowed meat? How did plant-based diets provide enough calcium, iron, zinc, things like that? Is it permissible to eat meat and dairy, but not ideal? Should it be consumed sparingly? Does it balance out nature, you know, kill and eat? So as you can see in my ebook, I have a lot of links you can go to on this chapter. The links to articles about plenty of protein being found in plant-based foods. I think I've got 4 articles there, some from Dr. Furman. The Keto Guide to Water Fasting, eating the right mix of veggies and nuts and seeds. And I've got all these links and YouTube videos there on the ebook. But suffice it to say that the protein debate, how often are you working out? male or female? What's your weight? What's your goals? And that's why it's hard to put a blanket statement out there that everyone needs to follow. You have to design it based on your own individual needs. My personal view on the best diet, and again, this is coming from many years of helping people, looking at what the Bible says, my own experience with fasting. I used to run 24-hour fitness centers, about four of those in my district. I was a district manager. I oversaw dozens and dozens, I think at one point, probably 100 personal trainers. And so again, from my perspective and from a biblical perspective, you can find support for a few different views. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Although I bloat from time to time, I focus on eating lower calorie, nutrient dense foods. And it gets interesting because people say, well, that's not enough calories. And I agree. If you only eat certain types of foods, high density, but low calories, it is sometimes hard to get enough calories. So you have to basically, it depends on how carried away you want to get. Did God give me this food? Is it good, God-given, clean? Am I going to utilize it, burn it? Am I active? Am I exercising? Do I need to eat or do I want to eat? Should I incorporate some seasons of fasting, intermittent fasting and things like that? So if you're following those types of things, you can step out with great faith that you will accomplish your goals as long as you're moving forward. And again, I'm not advocating for a calorie counting diet. I'm simply suggesting that we consume whole nutrient dense plant foods when we need to instead of when we want to. Also, if you limit snacking throughout the day, you'll accomplish a lot more because you'd be amazed at how many hidden calories are in that handful of chips and then a handful of nuts and then that orange or maybe some peanut butter. And by the time the day's over, you realize you had 500, 600, 700 calories, which should be in many cases, you know, 1/4 of your daily need has already been taken by eating snacks. And there's an old saying out there that does ring true. Eat half, walk double, laugh triple, and love without measure. That's a good rule to follow. And I know it's not what many of us want to hear because I love meat, but consuming dead, decaying flesh over a long period of time, as well as sugar and junk food, can wreck havoc on the body, from colon cancer to heart disease, from chronic inflammation to obesity. Meat and dairy contain certain compounds that feed disease, even if they are organic. So my goal is minimizing this. I've never been able to just go cold turkey, no meat and dairy for a long time. I usually have a little bit now and then. I used to have quite a bit, and I feel a lot better when I don't eat as much meat and dairy. But then if you increase your levels of sugar intake along with a substantial rise in meat and dairy consumption, that could be one of the possible links to cancer. It's the 1-2 punch that really can hurt people in the long run. And I think Dr. Joel Fuhrman also noted this as well, and I have it in the footnote. It's footnote 55 on what I'm reading, but I'm not sure if you get that in the ebook. In short, high sugar intake releases insulin into the bloodstream. Okay, we know that. Insulin into the bloodstream produces fat storage. It signals the body to store fat. And then if you consume high levels of animal protein, that raises insulin-like growth factor 1. They call it IGF-1. IGF-1 is a hormone that is similar to insulin. It joins with growth hormone to reproduce and regenerate cells. So this is great news if your cells are healthy and you're growing, but it's bad news if they're cancerous. So you get somebody that's overweight, as they're aging, they're getting older, lots of sugar, it's increasing insulin into the bloodstream, fat storage is increasing, and then now meat and dairy is going to add more insulin-like growth factor 1 into the equation. The cancer is feeding on the glucose from the sugar, and now the IGF-1 is actually going to increase the reproduction of the cancer cells at an alarming rate. So that's why it's good with something like cancer to really limit sugar and really limit meat and dairy. Again, in my opinion, based on my research, I think that's best. Excessive sugar sparks the flame of disease, and the abundant amount of IGF-1 throws gas on the fire. On the other hand, as I just said, life-giving plant food places vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, and other things directly into the body that aid in recovery and in immunity. There are many studies showing that plant-based diets can reverse everything from heart disease to chronic inflammation, especially in conjunction with fasting. I'm so fired up after reading that, I might have to consider a Daniel-type fast for a season. Consider quality and quantity. If you choose to eat meat and dairy, consider both the quantity and the quality. What do I mean by that? How much are you eating? How and what type of food? For example, if I eat meat and dairy, it's usually minimal, not very often. And I like raw goat's milk on occasion. People might say, raw? Oh, Shane, isn't that dangerous? Well, do the research. You'll see that actually pasteurizing the milk kills many of the important enzymes. You're basically drinking sugar water. And because people have gotten sick with milk that had some bacteria in it, it's the way God designed us. So I'm all for medicine. I'm all for science and breakthroughs and things like that. But you have to go where the research takes you. And pasteurizing kills off all of that. Well, that's why I think they pasteurize almonds now in California because somebody got sick. And what we're doing by pasteurizing and putting chemicals and heating up at a high temperature, you're basically killing all the good enzymes as well. And my thought is our immune system is healthy and we take in something like this, we should be able to fight it off pretty well. But most people can't get raw. I'm not necessarily advocating that. I'm just telling you what I do. And if the majority of our diet consists of whole plant-based food with little meat or dairy, it won't affect health negatively in the same way that eating the standard American diet will. Hope you caught that. If the majority of your diet consists of whole plant-based food, you might be thinking, Shane, what are you talking about? Well, get up in the morning, maybe fast intermittently, don't eat. And then maybe around lunchtime, a big salad with some beans. And a little bit later, a very healthy plant-based protein shake with some almond milk. And you can do this. It's not out of the realm of possibility. We just have to be motivated enough. And the key is moderation, really, which means drinking or eating something occasionally. Unfortunately, moderation is often abused and very unhealthy, and in very unhealthy patterns develop. The Apostle Paul said, all things may be allowed, but all things are not beneficial. Check out 1 Corinthians 10:23. In most areas where people live the longest, this is just pure facts, their diets are primarily plant-based. I also believe that the pre-flood atmosphere of the earth was much different than our living conditions now. Man lived in a healthier environment that may have provided more oxygen and greater protection against the harmful rays of the sun, and plants and fruit-bearing trees grew in abundance. After the flood, however, we know that things changed, and people were probably given the ability to now eat meat. It's not ideal, but it is something that was allowed. Personally, I'd rather err on the side of eating what we were designed to eat, wouldn't you? The last chapter in the book of Revelation even talks about the tree of life providing fruit for the healing of the nations. Interesting nonetheless. So think about that. Why do we not like fruit? Well, some people like fruit, but definitely not vegetables. Oh, broccoli, this, cauliflower. If we had time, I could go into the benefits of broccoli, cauliflower, bell peppers, and things like that. It's amazing. Carrots and how it affects even eyesight and joint pain. It's amazing what healthy food will do to you. I know it's a struggle. I'm not the model of perfect health. I did a lot of damage on my body. I don't know how long God will keep me here. And I'm just trying to better steward it now that I have this information. And healthy meat and dairy, for those who want to, can be enjoyed in moderation from time to time. And what it looks like to me would be maybe 4 ounces of meat one day, a little bit of dairy the next day or that same day, maybe skip a couple days and add in a little bit of fish. And think about what most of us are doing. Bacon for breakfast, or ham for breakfast, or eggs for breakfast. A couple hours later, I need a big chicken breast, a big hamburger sandwich, and later at night, big cup of milk, 30 ounces of milk with a half box of Oreo cookies, and then ice cream. And then for dinner, let's have big steak, and it's just way too much. I'm surprised we're not seeing more sickness. And here's a few scriptures to consider about food. Now, let this sink in. Ezekiel 4:9. It says this, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt and make bread. And that's a great combination. That plant combination has many health benefits. Deuteronomy 8, God said that he would bring them into a good land full of wheat and barley, as well as figs, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. And in Deuteronomy 20:19, he said the tree of the field is man's food. In Daniel 1, Daniel consumed vegetables and water for 10 days and had great success in his appearance. In Daniel 10, he did it for 21 days and the spiritual outcome was incredible. What about in the wilderness? In the wilderness, God fed the children of Israel bread from heaven, known as manna. And it says, the Bible says it had the appearance of beldium, and that comes from trees. The Bible states that the manna tasted like wafers made with honey. So the perfect food that God chose appears to be plant-based. Yes, he gave them quail, but if you remember, it's because they lusted for meat and he made them vomit it up. You will not see they lusted for broccoli and God made them vomit up the broccoli. It's always for these lusts for meat, lust for sugars, lust for caffeine, lust for this. And those lusts have to be brought into check. Also in this area of meat and dairy, it is something our body lusts for. Now in Acts 10, Peter did have a vision. God told him to kill and eat the meat. But in context, God was saying, this is an example that you need to minister to those who are not Jews. So I personally wouldn't use the scripture to say, oh, see, meat is totally great. It's healthy for you. God was showing them an example of how you were raised. You were raised not to eat and kill certain types of animals, which were actually unclean. Now I'm telling you to go to those who are unclean. And Romans 14, Paul talks about not judging a person who eats meat. But again, he could be referring to the unclean nature of certain foods, whether those foods were offered to idols, rather than being a proof text for meat-based diets. But as we all know, I'm sure Jesus had lamb at the Passover. He makes it clear in the Bible that he had some fish and his disciples did. So again, I look at his moderation. I don't think you're going to run into a lot of problems. I mean, you're not going to run into a lot of problems if you're exercising, keeping your weight down, fasting, big salads, lots of greens, lots of fruits, lots of veggies, lots of plant-based foods, and then you have a little meat and dairy. That's usually not what causes the problem. However, in 1 Timothy 4, check this out, 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, Paul said that in the last days, deceiving spirits will command people to abstain from certain foods. Interesting. So be careful in this area. This is why I don't get too dogmatic about this. If you're saying you cannot eat meat like some religions have done, or you cannot do this. In the context also talks about those who say you cannot marry. That is a deceiving spirit. And anything that goes against God's ordained order is a deceiving spirit. And no wonder we experience so much emotional, physical, mental problems that often affect our spiritual health because we're not taking care of this wonderful body that God has given us. Key reminders about food. First reminder, be careful when making absolute and dogmatic statements about food choices. But healthy, clean, plant-based foods should be a high percentage of your diet. And by clean, I mean eating God-given foods that are not necessarily sprayed with pesticides and fungicides and herbicides and all those things. Trying to eat organic when you can, if your budget allows for it, and your budget can't allow for it, you give up your little Starbucks habit and you'll have $130 extra a month. You give up this other habit, you'll have another $100 a month. We can find a way if we want it bad enough. Another reminder is there's a big movement away from focusing on calorie content of healthy food. And I agree, you don't want to sit there and count calories, but you have to know and be aware that, for example, in nuts, I remember there was a season where I was not losing weight. I was actually gaining weight. And I realized I'm eating about a cup of nuts a day, which was like 800 calories just from nuts. So it's a good indication there that to be wise on what you're consuming, how many calories you're taking in when possible. Third reminder, I would avoid eating a lot of salt and keep my eye on oil usage. You don't want to eat a lot of sodium because that can make you hungrier. And oil is kind of dead calories. It's good for you in some regard, but I'd rather eat the avocado instead of the avocado oil. Fourth reminder, don't forget about the importance of hydration, drinking enough water. It's so important. Don't make the same mistake. We must be careful not to make the same mistake about good carbohydrates that we did about healthy fats in the 1980s and 90s. You remember that? Boy, that big craze, fat free. Well, we found out now that was not a good craze because you're eating junk food, processed food, maybe a lot of times with aspartame, fake sugar, removing the fat, or using trans fat, partially hydrogenated oils where they inject hydrogen gas into the fat molecules, and it's just bad. Now, granted, there are some individuals who need to pay close attention to the amount of healthy carbohydrates they consume, but the right type of carbohydrates, think healthy beans, let the beans soak, think a half of a sweet potato and some good rice now and then, the right types are great, and the right types of fat, avocado, some nuts. The health food store, there's things like MCT oil and omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids, and you got to be careful on the ratio of that, but there's some good fats out there that are good and God-given in moderation. The healthiest people on the planet, again, eat primarily plant-based carbohydrates. Sometimes upwards of 80% of their diet is plant-based. They're also more active and they deal with stress much better than we do here in the United States. It's been estimated that for the first time in two centuries, think about this, the first time in two centuries, the current generation of children in America may have shorter life expectancies than their parents. And they've been saying that for over a decade. Little has changed. If we eat God's food, God's way, we move more, we deal with stress, we get enough sleep, we seek God daily, poor food choices now and then shouldn't affect us as nearly as badly or severely as they would when we're not following this checklist. Again, God's food, God's way, move more, get active, exercise, lose weight, deal with stress, get enough sleep, seek God daily, and poor choices now and then will not affect you to the same degree it does those who are not following these things. And of course, deal with stress. I mean, get into God's word, obey God's word, get your heart right, repent of things, repent of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and lust and lying, and get your heart right, remove all that stress, get a great night's sleep, get off caffeine, and you'll see a huge difference. Because if you don't choose wisely and you don't make different choices, you're gonna come up with the same outcome. Choose wisely and don't make the same mistake as countless Americans, because once you make a choice, that choice then makes you.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to check out the links in the description to get your copy of 40 Days to Reset Your Life, Applying God's Wisdom for Physical and Spiritual Renewal. You can download the book for Kindle on Amazon or for free in PDF or electronic format at wcfav.org. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneIdleman.com. Again, that's ShaneIdleman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.